All right. Welcome, you guys. Welcome to Reengage. Good to see everybody. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks, Hill.
That was a lie for some of you, but I still appreciate it. Because some days just aren't going that great for me. But I'm really glad you guys are hanging out with us. So you guys know that normally during this time we do either a teaching time or a couple testimony. Hey, Jeff.
We're not a couple.
We're not doing the couple testimony? This is my friend Jeff, and Jeff Strace and I, we are on the directional team here that oversees and kind of gives prayer and guidance and leadership to reengage. And so we're actually going to team teach tonight. You guys pretty excited about that? Yeah. We'll have fun, though.
Yeah. More encouragement.
So here's kind of how we envision this going, you guys. It's a little bit of a... we've got a message that's on both of our hearts that we really want to challenge you guys with. But one of the cool things about my friendship with Jeff is that we have lunch oftentimes or just good phone conversations, and we get into these really good, I think pretty challenging conversations that we have. And so as we teach tonight, I think in some ways we really want to let you kind of eavesdrop in on a conversation of something that we feel is really valuable in our own lives, in our own marriages, and that I think it would bless you guys to be a part of just kind of hearing what that's about. And so just in a nutshell, I mean, you can kind of tweak it and massage it a little bit here, Jeff, but I think what's on our hearts to be able to communicate to them is one of the real distinctive kind of attributes about Reengage. There are lots of marriage ministries all over the country, you guys, and lots of creative ways that people are trying to work and invest in their marriage. And all of them have some great, you know, features to them. And but one of the things, if you've been hanging out here at Reengage for any length of time, there's something a little bit different about our experience here. And there may be a couple of reasons for that, but one of the ones that we really want to hit on tonight is, why in the world are we doing this as a small group? For example, it is not unusual for Lee, who's on staff with me here at Watermark, to get calls during the week and say, hey, we really want to work on our marriage. Is there any way that we could kind of do the reengage stuff, but not so much the group part? And so they want the material. They're not shying away from some of the scriptures. They're not shying away from, you know, God's instructions for their marriage. But I'll be honest with you, the group stuff is just a little bit intimidating, and it's a little bit scary. So what we want to do is talk to you tonight about why we think that's so valuable, why it's not some, why the group part is not just some kind of accessory on the side of your marriage, but that it's the very place where real life change and real marriage change takes place. And so, Jeff, maybe to start off, I think even in our friendship, you know, we're talking about reengage, but you have always been, just in the couple years that I've known you, you have been such an advocate for community. And I don't mean the kind of community where you kind of get together and just say, you know, how about those Rangers? Which, by the way, let's be honest, that's pretty good, though. But let's not
good
get
example.
Sidetracked.
Good example.
But where, Jeff, you like, even in our conversations, you never let it, it's never just kind of one of those superficial conversations, but they're the ones that really drive deeply where it exposes stuff. And so I'd be curious from you, from your standpoint, when did you and Laura really maybe first start to experience that kind of depth of community? What kind of led you into it? How did you develop such a high value for engaging so deeply in relationships? And so maybe just talk a little bit about that.
You know, probably about four to 5 years ago, when we first started coming to Watermark Church and we got involved in a community group and we got involved in some different ministries. We started off with Celebrate Recovery and served there and now here. And there's something I think very important about being known. And that doesn't come natural for me. You know, I have a career background of counseling and teaching and training others, and so it was always very external. I was always sort of evaluating and counseling and sort of was always external. But when it came to my own stuff, I was pretty guarded about that, and which sounds pretty hypocritical, but, you know, that was sort of a clinical barrier, I think, that I had with people. And it was really showing up in my marriage in a really bad way. I would tend to compartmentalize my life and my emotions. And to some degree, I think a lot of men can relate to that. A lot of men that we've seen come to this ministry and that we've counseled in this church struggle really with being in touch with their emotions. And so we want to spend some time tonight talking about the value of being known and how difficult it is, but also specifically how to prepare your hearts and your minds for even coming into this place, whether you're a newcomers or open group or closed group, no matter where you are, how to prepare yourself for that. And so we think that's important.
I agree. We talked a little bit about this at our leaders meeting, even just tonight, and so I thought it was great. One of our leaders said, the very thing that I long for is to be known. And the thing that scares me the most is to be known. And so there's something about us that is drawn towards this experience where someone might actually know all of my messiness, all of the stuff that I struggle with, and yet at the same time it scares us to death to be known at that level. And so I think all of us kind of really wrestle with that kind of that paradox there. And I love how you set it up, though, Jeff. And I want you guys to hear this, is that if you're in a closed group and this is your last night, like say you're hanging out with Ray and Dana and your group's finishing up tonight, way to go, you guys.
Yeah.
Or if this is your first night here and you're going to hang out in the newcomers group, so whether you're in the newcomers group tonight for the very first time and you're going to hang out with the Coxes, whether you've been coming to the open group for the last several weeks or months, you've been hanging out in that group, or you're one of the close groups, I guess our challenge is going to set you guys up. We really want to encourage you guys and to inspire you to take advantage of the group that you find yourself in. Each one of those groups is not perfect, so there's going to be things about it that, you know, it'd be a lot easier to kind of become someone who is fully known. But we really want to challenge you to do that, and even maybe talk to you about some things that could keep you from doing that, and some ways to kind of dive in deeply. One of the things for me, I can tell you that even though I've been pro-marriage for a long time, and especially Rebecca and I, we've been way for our marriage. If I'm thinking about how do I improve my marriage, I think about, okay, how do I go get a great book that I can read? How do I go get, you know, hear a great sermon or talk to somebody? It's like maybe fifth or sixth, maybe in the top 10 on my list before I even think about actually letting myself kind of be known this way with other couples. For years, being just like you, Jeff, I think being in kind of relationship ministry, it seems so bizarro to me that for all those years, like even working on budgets, that I would even invite another couple to kind of come be a part of that process. Talking about our sex lives with other
folks.
You're
going to do that tonight?
You're going to do that tonight, Jeff?
I don't know about that.
I don't know if Laura knows.
I mean, just
that,
the very design of ministries like Celebrate Recovery and Community Group, all those sorts of ministries are designed for being known. And for many of us, that does not come natural. Now, being known with a friend or on the phone or venting to a friend is one thing, but that's not the same thing. To have somebody that's going to commiserate with you over your marital woes. To be known in a small, safe group with some guidelines that are informed by biblical principles and going on that journey with other people, there's a whole design to that. There's a whole design to listening to the testimonies of people week in and week out. It not only there are lessons in there in which we can relate to or empathize with, but in a way it begins to give us permission to be known, to talk about our stuff, and again, not wait until you're in a closed group. I mean, one of the challenges you and I talked about over lunch that one day was, how do we help couples see that even when they're in open group, that is as critical of a time for them to begin to turn down their own volume, their own stuff, and listen to the perspective of others, and let the Spirit work through them, whether it's trying to gain hope or perspective or healing, that it happens right then and there. Even in week two, it can begin to happen right there.
Yeah, open group, you guys, and all of us have either, you're either there now or you can remember back when you were in open group. One of our fears is that kind of that experience just turns into kind of like a holding pattern, you know, kind of like you're in like re-engage purgatory. And you just kind of hang out there until
you work out your stuff there, yeah, before you can move on.
Until you find out like what really happens. But I think what we're challenging you is to think about whatever group that you're in, whether it be an open group, whether it be in a closed group or newcomers or whatever place that is that you start looking at the folks that are around you and how do you strategically start to lean into squeezing the most out of whatever group that you're in. Now, I know for me, I tend to do this, and so tell me if this resonates with anybody, is that I want to be invited into the group. I want to think about how the group is going to kind of respond to me. And I don't very often kind of look at the couples that are around me and go, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to learn? How do I grow? How do I mine kind of real good truths and treasures out of this? And at the same time, how do I let these other people know me at a level that feels really risky?
Besides, it's a good way to feel validated and go, I'm not as screwed up as they are.
That's right.
You know, you can sort of feel...
Yeah. I don't say it out loud.
Oh, it's just your inside voice. Yeah. Okay, yeah. You're not supposed to say it out loud. Okay.
And I say it out loud sometimes too, but there is that sense of have you ever noticed this when you're in a group? don't actually raise your hand on this one, but where you have these conversations going on in your head where it's like, man, I am glad that we don't have to struggle with that. Or man, I wonder what it's like to kind of have to wrestle through that. And it never even dawned on me that that's maybe some of my issues.
Or what are they doing here? They don't even really have any real problems. You know, they're just. You know, they're empty nesters and they're trying to, you know, re-spark their romance. What are they doing here? And we've encountered all kinds of life stages and reactions to being in this ministry. And the fact of the matter is that you're here and you're here for a reason. You're either here to take ground or increase intimacy or literally rebuild a marriage that's been destroyed or abandoned. And I go back to the notion about really being present. Really before... This idea of being known and kind of telling your story about yourself, it's important, I think, to precede that by turning your own volume down. In other words, being very committed to listening, turning down the voices inside your head that are driven by other things, despair, fear, concern, whatever they are, anger, to be committed to that. And when we've seen couples do that, and even if they're afterwards are saying, man, that's been a tough session, or we barely got here tonight, we had a fight in the car. When we've seen couples that have been really diligent and committed to showing up and being engaged in the moment, the lesson, the prayer, the testimony, you see that couple take ground. God is working in their hearts, working in their minds, and sometimes it's very slow. Some of the very people that are serving in this ministry right now started off that way, hopeless.
In fact, that's what really amazes me is that it's almost like working out a muscle that I didn't even know that I had, and that kind of quieting some of all of the activity going on in my head, everything. And it's not just the details of work and marriage and life and kids and friends. It's really I love the way you describe that, Jeff. It's some of my own issues that are driving all of that stuff. And so it's like each week I get a chance to kind of practice or work out that muscle of trying to really pay attention. And so a lot of us, I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of you guys, you've done great, and I encourage it. You physically are here, so way to go. You're not at home, you're not in front of the TV, you're not vegging out in front of the computer, you're not just wandering around talking to somebody on the cell phone. You're actually physically here, so way to go. But some of you are only physically here. And so when you get a chance to be in your groups, we're inviting you to become emotionally really present. And what that means is not just someone who's kind of like window shopping in your group, where you just kind of like observe things as they go by, and you're kind of getting, you know, kind of cheap, you know, inexpensive entertainment by just kind of watching this whole thing. We really want you to move from becoming someone who's an observer to someone who's actively engaged in what's going on. And so we want you to move from just showing up, which is a huge step, to taking the next, even more risky step, and that is to kind of go full throttle. This re-engage group that you're in, you guys, I know that it seems like it lasts forever. I know it does. I'm so glad nobody said amen just then. But I have to tell you, it will go by so quick. And I just tell you, I hear from couples constantly who go, we physically showed up, we mechanically went through stuff, but we didn't give our hearts to it, and we regret it. And there's couples who have gone through re-engage a couple of times because they feel like they missed the chance to kind of squeeze as much out of it as they could. Nobody's going to force you to do that. Nobody's going to kind of mandate it. Nobody's going to give you some, you know, kind of a grade on how much your heart was in this thing. But I'm just telling you, I just want to echo what Jeff has said, is that you will unequivocally get so much more out of this if you can get yourself past some of those apprehensions or hurdles that keep you from being emotionally present in your group.
You know, one thing that I think would be really helpful for you to think about is, you know, when you come to reengage, again, no matter where you are on the journey, it's to, even if you're feeling sort of shut down that night or preoccupied, I think it's probably helpful for you and your spouse to just say that's where you are.
Yep.
You know, just articulate that and just be able to say, you know, I'm struggling to be here tonight, but I'm hanging in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is that little piece of authenticity can go a really long way for you and your spouse. When we've seen an individual come in and you can see the exasperation on somebody's face because they want to get working and they want to get in, and one of the spouses just shut down emotionally, just not saying a word, clammed up. You know, that's communicating a lot. You know, it's communicating resentment, and I really don't want to be here. And but the person's still there physically, yeah. So it can be a real mixed message between the couple. So encourage you, even if you're not having some epiphany and you've had some incredible, you know, warmth that's come over you, to just articulate where you are that night. Say, look, I'm struggling to be here. I'm not sure how I feel. I'm confused, but I'm hanging in there.
Jeff, I love that.
I'm glad you do, Chip.
I'm sick.
Really.
Like right now while we were talking.
You were struggling. You were struggling to be here.
No, I felt the warmth and the...
Good. I'm glad you're not struggling.
No, honestly, you know what happened? Honestly, while you were saying that, my mind immediately started drifting to... I was in another meeting about a month ago, and it wasn't even a marriage meeting. It was some colleagues. It was a bunch of... Anyway, it was not... It was. Let's put it this way. It was not a real safe re-engage group kind of environment. And so I was with about five other guys, and I remember I was sitting in that meeting, and I could feel myself just kind of disconnecting. My mind was wandering off on other things, and someone finally kind of turned to me and goes, Chip, what do you think about, you know, this issue? And so that was like my moment to kind of like give the zinger, you know, this great insight where everybody would do like a parade afterwards because it was so brilliant. And, you know, those times didn't happen. And so I didn't know, they caught me off guard there for just a second, and I didn't know what to say, and I did this vulnerable thing. Just what you were saying, I went, you know what, guys? I'm just not here today. My mind is drifting all over the place, and I'm having a hard time staying focused. And so just be patient with me. And, man, I'm telling you, it changed the course of that conversation.
It does. You know, when people do that, again, for those of you who've been through around Celebrate Recovery Ministry or other kinds of ministries where authenticity is really the core, is it endears you to people. You want to forgive them. You want to listen. You want to lean in. You want to give them a chance.
It really helps develop trust because it's you being honest with the rest of the folks that are around you. And so even if it's information that you don't like to hear, you know, so if you're a spouse and you don't want to hear that your husband is, if you're a wife and your husband says, I'm just not really here, my mind is drifting all over the place, that could feel like a hurtful statement. But in some ways, it's also a very honoring statement because you're being... You're being someone who's being real with what's going on, and there is a certain amount of trust that gets built that way.
Well, and those are some of the early hurdles of rebuilding intimacy and trust in a marriage. It's being authentic and honest, saying it in such a way that it's not a hurtful way to say, like tone or demeanor, but speaking your truth and getting in touch with your feelings. And we see a lot of couples, you know, kind of struggle in those early stages being authentic about how they feel.
So re-engage is not one of these, you know, there's not like some secret sauce. There's not some magic formula. I mean, as you guys are going through the participant's guide and you're reading through some of the scriptures, I doubt anybody goes home at night going, holy smokes, I have never thought about that before. That, like, you know, has turned my world upside down. You probably don't do that very often. It's good, solid truth. It's good, biblically grounded stuff. But I think really what's amazing about re-engage is that you get a chance to rub up against those truths. But then you get a chance to do it with other couples in a way that is open and real, and there's not this pretense all the time. And so I just want to encourage you guys that this isn't just some kind of novel idea that Jeff and I think are important, or that a church has kind of picked up somewhere and said, hey, let's put all our eggs in the basket on this one. But I have to tell you that if there is a criticism or if there could be some kind of argument lobbied against most Christian experiences is that we just stay intellectual and we don't do this authenticity. We don't do the relationship part well. And so we're just simply trying to here at Reengage to combine those great biblical truths, really trustworthy truths, and we're just trying to live those out with each other. And so I just want to encourage you, if you have found yourself over the last few weeks or the last couple of months kind of retreating back and just kind of going, I can't believe I'm having to tolerate the group. I wish I could just kind of do this stuff away from the group. I just want to tell you, you're in a dangerous place. You will miss it. You will miss the stuff that breathes life back into your own life. You will miss the stuff that will breathe life back into your own marriage.
I think a term used around this, at least this church body, church culture, is terminal uniqueness. And basically that means sitting there thinking that no one can possibly know how I feel or know what I've been through or know what I have to live with. And that belief system only creates and sustains isolation. And isolation is very, very dangerous when your marriage is in trouble. Isolation is really what creates the danger zone. And so, you know, and specifically a challenge to the men sitting out there. And again, I think a lot of men are not in touch with their feelings very well. And so I just really challenge the men to, if you're coming in and you're not sure, or you're not sure how you feel, or you're checked out, or whatever it is, but just to be authentic about it and talk about that in little ways along the way. And I think it'll help reassure your spouse that you're in this for the long haul.
So, Jeff, as you and Laura have kind of tasted this community stuff, what are some kind of tangible ways that you guys have noticed your marriage really start to kind of move in a healthy direction? And I don't mean, hey, we learned something from the group that we didn't learn before, but something out of that, the experience of being known more authentically. How has that kind of played itself out for you guys?
I think the main thing is that we keep short accounts. We work through conflicts more quickly. They're not as intense. They're not as long and dramatic. For one, is because I think the health of our marriage has increased tenfold in the last 5 years. We also have people that we're accountable to and accountable with. I mean, I know that because I've got really good friends, good men in my life that are tracking with me, that if I blow up at my wife or I'm in traffic and I blow up at the kids, you know, there's going to be some accountability for me with people that are in my life. That's not just a silent episode or silent to the rest of the world, you know, voluminous to my family. Those episodes in my life have become less and less intense. That's still a journey for me, intensity. And in my frustration or anxiety or anger, I can tend to intimidate. But that's kind of out loud. And that was not out loud in my life 5 years ago. That was causing harm in my family, in my marriage, and it was not uncovered.
So if I were sitting out there where they are today, and I heard you say, hey, community will give you this, less frequency in terms of conflict, and then when conflict does happen, it's not as big. The counts are short with each other. Like, I'm getting interested now. So now I'm like, you almost made the sell for me. So we've got to close the sell here on why community, why would they want to double down on their investment in these groups?
Well, first of all, it wasn't something I sort of cognitively went into going, yeah, this is a great thing, and we probably should do that. And, you know, as past groups that I've been in, but once you're in it and you're in the thick of it, you become vulnerable and it's transforming. And what we have in this ministry is similar to that. It's like a community group that you track with for 6 to 8 months, or maybe sometimes even longer. It's not always comfortable. It's not always fun. Sometimes, I mean, even recently, I'm like, you know, don't take that to community. You know, I sort of told my wife not to say that in community. I told you I was going to say that. And, you know.
Was that out loud?
Yeah, it was out loud. And you know, because you're not always proud of all these little things. And it's not like, you know, every little skirmish and every little blemish.
You don't show up at a community group with like a transcript.
It's not like that. You know, just the important and the big stuff. But you know, that's been a journey for me, and I think for a lot of us, it's a journey to be known, because we're proud, we're private. You know, it's not their business. They won't understand all kinds of things. And I'm going to use a term that's kind of gross, but the point is not to come in and emotionally vomit on people and just give everything. You know, just totally, that's not the way either. And we've seen couples kind of come in and do that, thinking, oh, now's my chance. I'm going to throw my husband or my wife under the bus, and we're just going to, you know, tell the horror stories. And we really encourage people, like you always say, kind of kick the tires, wade into the shallow end, but don't take 6, 8, 10 weeks to get in and start swimming. You know, start listening. Start turning your volume down. Start sharing little pieces of yourself that are for you, so that Spirit and God can work in your heart and in your marriage, but also to reassure your spouse that you're in there, you're hanging in there, and you're listening.
Well, Jeff, I long for that now. I don't think that I always did, but I long for that to be the kind of climate, the kind of incubator where my marriage lives. Just because I know that there are things that Rebecca and I want to experience as a married couple that I don't think we get to experience if we don't intentionally create those kind of environments for us to live in. And so I just want you guys to know that at Reengage, we're doing our darndest to create an environment where you get a chance to do that. And so this is my plea with you, is to not miss that. Don't just kind of go, well, it didn't rub off on me, or it didn't take. I'm pleading with you to take advantage of these groups that you're in. And I don't care if it's the open group or a closed group or the newcomers group, but there are people around you that you need to start practicing this openness and this vulnerability with and this transparency with, because your marriage, I don't know how it works. I don't know the science behind it. But all I know is that is the place where Rebecca and I feel like we have the most wind in our sail. That's where we feel like we're getting the most traction. And I love how you said it's not always warm and fuzzy. In fact, it's crazy unpleasant at times. And so I don't want to oversell this thing as though it's kind of like tiptoeing through the tulips and it's blissful. And no, there's heartache in there. There's misunderstanding in there. There's messiness that comes with it. It's not clean, I'll tell you that. But I can tell you that that's the place where my marriage grows the most.
And every single testimony that you've heard, however long you've been coming here, shows you the pattern and the cycle of despair and brokenness, and then going through this journey of transparency and authenticity and healing. And then you see the renewal, and you see people going through new seasons in their life where there's hopefulness, and they're working hard, and they're keeping short accounts. Yeah. Every single testimony resembles that.
Well, I also want you to know, just in closing here, guys, that this is not Jeff's idea or my idea or Watermark's idea, but it's a biblical idea. Normal Christian living means that you're doing this in relationship to other people. You were never intended to walk with Christ all by yourself. You were never intended to be married all by yourself. Your marriage is going to thrive to the extent that it's in community with other places. And so if you want to kind of challenge me on this, I say go for it. Just realize that the price here is pretty risky. But I'd love for you to come up to me in a couple years and go, hey, we have totally been isolated from everybody, and my marriage is thriving. Of course, I'll call you a liar, because it was not designed that way. And I can tell you unequivocally, the reason it works this way is because when you, as a couple, are living this relationship this way with other couples, it brings glory to God. It reflects His character. Your marriage is not just for you to enjoy. Your marriage is to be a place where God gets to display some of His most beautiful attributes. And I'm telling you that your marriage in community with other couples is something that reflects God's glory. People look at that and go, there's something divine about that. There's something otherworldly about that. Look at the way they forgive each other. Look at the way they extend grace to each other. Look at the way that they kind of keep each other accountable because they love each other deeply. I'm telling you, that sort of relationship, you can't look at that and not go, huh, I wonder if Jesus is that way. I wonder if that's the sort of values and priorities and characteristics that are true about who God is. And so part of the reason we want you to move in this direction, like we've said in a lot of other talks, is it is for your good. We really do believe that your marriage thrives that way. But I have to tell you, it's not just for your good. It is for God's glory that you guys live in community this way. So we're going to break right now. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll break. And you guys get a chance to go practice it. How great is that? All right, let me pray for us. Father, you are an amazing God, and I'm so glad you're in charge of this thing. I'm so glad you're in charge of marriage and how you designed it, and even our own hearts. And Father, we confess to you, we're not even really sure how it all is exactly works. But we do know you've laid out patterns for us, and you've laid out guidelines for us. And I'd be the first one to confess, Lord, that I have totally neglected at times living my life and my marriage in full view of you and in full view of others. And I know that when I've tried it, there has been blessing there. And I pray that you would do that with my friends tonight, those that are here, that you would challenge them and encourage them and invite them to jump in with both feet. Help them to become recommitted to the groups that they find themselves in. And I pray that you would honor them and protect them and just move them forward towards the marriage that they long to have. So would you bless them tonight? I pray in Christ's name. Amen.